Father, we are thankful to you for getting us together, Lord God, tonight to fellowship and, Lord God, to worship you. We are so thankful for the strength of the body, Lord God, even the desire in our hearts, Lord, to come together, Father. We know there are people, Lord God, who don't even think about you at all, Lord God. But, Father, you put something in us, Father, that desires to fellowship with you, to have some talk with you, Lord God, all the time, to have some communion with you, Lord. In our best times, Lord God, as a man is to a husband, Lord God, I mean to his wife, so are we to you. The best times is when the wife is with the husband and Lord God having enjoying Lord God. Lord, our best times is when we are together with you, King, and we are talking back to you, when we are fellowshipping, Lord, when we are speaking to you, when we gather together in thy name, Lord, and know that you are around, Lord. Father, we are so happy about these things. Tonight, Lord, we pray, Father, that you speak to us. I understand, Lord, I saw from the group, Lord, that Michael's mother is not feeling good. Lord, you know what things. We don't know why it is like this. Just the other day I saw that picture of her and I was so happy, Father, that I could see her now going to visit the brother, Lord God, and it was so a great thing. And now things have turned the way they've done, Lord. We don't know why. Father, we pray that you take over, Lord, from the hearts of my brother, my sister, the family, Lord. Take over, Lord. Let it be on your heart, Lord. Let them rest, Lord. Let them get comforted and know that, Lord, the Father is in charge and is taking care of things. We commit the matter to you. Any other need in our midst, Father, we pray that, Lord, you look at it and grant whatsoever need, Father, the people need. The other people who are not here, Lord, like my wife is not here, Father, Lord, I pray that you bless her, Lord, bless her heart, bless her children, Lord. Father, whoever they are, be with them. As Joe, Lord, who could not come because of work, we pray, Father, I know he's listening in, I pray, Father, that, Lord, bless him. Take that heart to yourself. And let, Lord, bring him closer to you and his children too. There's also Rebecca, Father. I know, Lord God, how hard it is with her, Lord. Maybe she's listening in. I don't know how she's even able to listen in. Her mind is really done. Lord, you know, because you're a specialist in those things that look impossible to the eyes of the people, and to science and things like that. You know it, Lord. You know how to tackle those problems, Lord. You can take her, Lord, and take care of that heart, Lord, and comfort it in a manner that, Lord, she'll put a smile on her face again, Lord. I commit her father, even Cameroon, on your heart, Lord. That whole family, Lord, be with them in a mighty way. As we gather here, Father, we pray that you take over. This is just a testimony, Lord. But in those things that don't look like it is really the word, Lord, you can come in, Father, and bless our hearts, Lord. Let it be a fellowship, Father, that you take the words that I'm going to speak, Lord, that it will be a blessing to the people. And, Lord, it will exalt your name and your kingdom in a mighty way is our prayer. We commit the whole thing now to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Now, praise be to God. May God bless you. I've really missed you. I've really missed you. And I love you so much. Abba is asleep. I think she woke up early. Could be that. I don't know. She usually don't sleep in Kenya. When I'm preaching, she don't sleep. And they're actually very active in Atom. They're very active. They participate in that's good. So, There's something here that I would like to read. I think this is okay. I think this is okay. It seems like it's slow, but that's okay. I can see. So this scripture got me when I was in India, and there's another one that I remember reading for Dawn. When Brother Kiran was going to India, I read Brother Dawn this scripture. I don't know whether I read it, I just mentioned it, and Brother Dawn searched it and got it, and I soon get excited a bit on that, so I decided I'm going to read it, which is in Philippines. But I'm going to read it first of all in Luke, and because in everything, this does not look like it's God's word. It's just me going, I went here, I did this. So I decided to put that scripture there for just like to start like I'm preaching. So it's in Luke 10. I didn't say this. It's in Luke 10, verse 25 to 37. It's a long scripture, but I'm going to read it very fast so that you can get it. If you can get it, that's okay. If you cannot, that's okay. I'll just read it. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answered and said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." This statement to me is is great. I don't know really, but and that is why I think I had a lot of. I don't know whether it's anointing. I don't know whether it's faith. I don't know what I had. But in my whole trip, I've never felt like that. And after preaching here about where is the Lord God of Elijah, that really shoot me. That brought me to some places. Because of course, the quotes that I read more than that. So I read more than that, and that has thrown me somewhere. That has thrown me somewhere, especially when it comes to the book called Christ, Why Christ Speak. And then I found another one in Adoption, where she is an adopted son of God. I mean, those things. When you come to that you're adopted son of God, and that's what we are, that's what the bride is, and then you can speak whatever you will, and it will happen. You know, those words. And from there, I'm saying this because after that, after I preached that, brother, sisters, every word, there are some things that didn't mean much. But every word that you talk about God, it's like it has another meaning in me. I don't know what has happened. It's like there's something that the people in Kenya used to say, and everybody says it. That God does not have a trash can. You know a trash can? You know a trash can where you throw things that you don't want? They say it's called Kera. Kera in Kikuyu. Gaidari Kera. God does not have a trash can where he throws the prayers that you pray. And to me, that's a denomination or something. Eh? It has, I've always taken it like a denomination or something. And then now somebody said it, or I saw it somewhere, and it's so much. I mean, everything has a meaning now. I don't know why. I don't know what has happened, but that's me. But everything has a meaning. Yes, sir. I mean, everything that you tell God does not have somewhere where he throws those. You can get tired. You can get tired because you're praying for this and it's not coming. God does not get tired. And God does not forget that you said it. And God does not forget his word, that he promised that he would do it. You can pray today, tomorrow, and it gets tired. But God does not get tired, and he will answer. He will answer someday. He might not answer the way you want, but he will answer. He answers prayers. That's his word. And I didn't say it. He said it. You didn't say it. He said it. He's not a liar. He meant it.
That's right.
So it's come to a place where anything means something. In God's word, you say it any way you want. If God's word, to me, is doing something. I don't know what has come to me. I don't know. But that's, and that trip was mother. That trip was, I never had a trip like that. I even didn't have big meetings like that where I go and do those big meetings like conventions. I didn't have that. But every day I was talking to somebody, every time, not every day, so there are sometimes, there's some days that I didn't. But most of the days I was talking to people, and I had people, I had a fellowship, people didn't want me to come. And actually they are praying earnestly now. They want me back in Africa and like that. And I don't want to go to Africa. I want to go to the world and take this. I desire that in my heart. I want to take it to the world. I want everybody to know that God has done something and God has come. I feel it's so real now than it was yesterday. And it's really taking me, it's really on me. And that's me. And I'm not inviting anybody to that or forcing anybody to come to that. Like I prayed for, I think I'm getting into my trip. I went to Brother Moriah and for some time, there are three things that I've been talking to God about. The three things I've read before God, and every day and every moment, even when I'm walking, I talk to God about three things. There are three things that I've read before God. When one of them was, and I have not said this before, and one of them was, I want Brother Moriah to start up and walk. I want Brother Moriah to walk, and that seems to be impossible. Brother Moriah is a vegetable right now. He cannot do nothing. He doesn't know where he is. It's like that. But I believe that's me, and I'm not inviting anybody to come because everybody is talking about that and staring at the people, not even to disturb Brother Moriah. And the best thing is to let Brother Moriah go. And I said, okay, you're okay. I'm not even condemning them. I'm just saying, but for me, I don't think I'm doing it wrong to believe that he can start up and walk again. I don't think I'm doing wrong, and because that is what God told me. God told me, ask what you will, and it will. And I believe that that's possible. And I went there and told them, if whoever is believing with me, believe with me. If you cannot, that's okay. No worries. But that's what I believe. I believe that Moriah can stand up again and preach. I've never talked about this before. That was just me talking to God, and I've talked to God in very many ways. I've talked to God, even if it's Nebuchadnezzar. You know, remember Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar was given about 7 years to eat as an animal in the forest because of what he had done. But God, you took him back. If God can take Nebuchadnezzar back, he can take Moriah back. I don't care what he did. And I'm telling God, can't you forgive him? Even whatever he did, because I don't know, maybe he did something. But there's a blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for those sins. He can still do it. But that's me. I'm not inviting anybody to. I'm not forcing anybody to come. Maybe you'd like to let him go. That's okay. And I have no quarrel. But me, I believe that Brother Moriah can walk and can. And that's my prayer. And I'm not trying to untwist God. But he told me, ask. That's what he told me. That's what God told me. So doing that, I'm not doing against the word. If he dies, that's okay. I've not lost nothing. Do you get what I'm saying? I've not lost nothing. But I believe that he can do it. And I don't know why God put that in my heart. Praise be to God. And there are times, what are you saying? There are times that comes, I hear a voice, what are you saying? I said what he said. He said, ask what you will and I'll give it to you. Praise be to God. So that was just to show, just telling you how it's been. And it's been like that. And I'm not trying to say, you know, people think that you're somebody. No, I'm a nobody. Remember that. And don't you never come to a place where you think that I'm a somebody. I'm not. I'm just your brother. Simple. I'm just a simple brother, the lowest of all the brothers. Don't think about nothing. Praise be to God. I think Sunday, I would like to finish this because Sister Esther asked me a question yesterday and I told her, I don't know, what do you want? Do you want me to sit down with you and explain it, or do you want me to preach it? He said, you can preach it, brother, and I want to preach it. He is asking about the two witnesses. I would like to bring, and if I bring it the way maybe a bit different from the way somebody has seen, that's okay. You can also give me some quotes on that. I'll give you the quotes that I've seen. I think she doesn't understand very much about it, so I'll bring it the way I think, and I'll bring it with the quotes, because whenever you have a controversial something, I've realized that. Whenever you have a controversial something, the best thing is to let the prophet say it. Now, when the prophet says it, another thing we have, and very many people are doing that, is putting their words in. I don't want that. I don't know. When something is controversial, just leave your words out. Let me leave mine. Leave yours also. Let's just come there and see. Let's say what he says and leave it there. If you understand it, you don't understand it. The way you understand it doesn't matter. But let's leave the words of the prophet the way they are and just leave it there. So I would like to come with it. And I'm not saying that there are some cases, there's some, the furtherance of it when it comes to the two witnesses and the Jews and coming in of the Jews and the salvation of the Jews. There's somewhere that I feel some people are saying this and I'm not seeing it the way they are saying, and I'm seeing this way. But the furtherance of it is not about the two witnesses. I think about the two witnesses, I think most of the people, we agree on that. But about the Jews in the 70 weeks of Daniel, the 70th week, I think that some people see something different. And that's okay. And even if you see different from me, I don't argue. I can be wrong. I can be wrong. I don't stand here and say I'm right. No. You may be right. And I would like to see also your way of saying it. But the way I've heard some people say it, I think I don't agree with that. Am I saying it's me and me? No, they might be right. I might be wrong. And I'm considering everything. But I would like also my side to be heard and like that. But that's me. And as I said, I'm a nobody. So I'm just your brother who is looking at it, who is trying to study, who is trying to see what the prophet says. So now, he said unto him, "What is written in the way? How readest thou?" Then, and he answered and said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." That's what I'm saying. This to me is heavy. This to me is so strong. This to me means something. Okay. But I don't want to talk about it so much because of time. Lord thy God, with all thy heart. Do we really do that? Do we really love our Lord with all our heart? Praise be to God. Okay. And with all thy soul. With all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, the only thing that the prophet told a wife that she can do, she can follow her husband, all the way except when it comes to this. If your husband leads you to something that is not correct, that is not godly, you can get away from that. That does not mean that you leave him. That's the only thing. You know, the only word in the Bible, it's a reference. You know, the promise is, you reverence God. It's like, I don't know what the other word is, something. Okay, but let's use the word reference. The only word that is used for anybody is reference God. In other words, is high honor and respect and love, kind of adoring him. That is the only other place, the only other thing that you can reference is your husband. That's Ephesians. That's the Bible, of course. See, the only other thing they can give that kind of a thing. In fact, the prophet says that, even the Bible says that he reverenced Sarah reverenced Abraham until he was calling him Lord. You know that Lord cannot be nobody else except the Lord God. You know that. That's God. You see that? So actually, your husband is like your God. I mean, he's not God, but it's that high. You understand that? But when it comes to this God, this is the main God, not your husband now. When it comes to this word, you can leave your husband on that. I'm not saying that you divorced, no. But on that word, and sometimes we really bring our wives, like, we go to follow me, you go to follow me. I learned that long time ago. I told my wives, like, now we had an argument with my wife in Kenya, and that's okay. And we disagreed, and that's okay, on a scripture. And I tried to bring quotes, I said, "Hey, I didn't know that he said that. Let me study." Now I left her studying, and that's good. I respect that. That's not a sycophant. My wife can start here and say, "No, what you're saying, I don't believe it," because the prophet is something else. And that's somebody who studies and prays. And I like that, sisters, for you to do that. so that you can stand. God requires each one of us here, when it comes to this world, to stand on your own legs, to stand on your own feet, not to stand on your husband's feet, not to stand on your husband's feet or your wife's feet. No, to stand on your feet. Praise be to God. God requires that. God, it's come to that now. It's come to that now. It's come to that. Oh, that's all right. Praise be to God. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. To me, it's very strong. This is God. This is life. This is not a joke, brothers. You can leave everything. People have their own lives. Praise be to God. They were bad alive. They left their own lives. Leave alone now, my wife. Leave alone my children. My own life. They were put on a stake. I mean, the firewood was gathered and he was put there. And fire, like, and he said, "This is my soul." It's on your own feet now. Is that serious, brothers? Study. Pray. Constantly be on him. I'm saying that, and since I've come, I've not been studying as much, and I'm sorry. I'm not studying. I must be honest, I have not been studying as I'm supposed to, as I usually do. I've been a bit lazy, and I'm sorry about that. You know, all my breaks in the presence of work, and sometimes you have very many breaks, all my breaks, I just come to this. And I'm not bragging, because sometimes I want to see news and things like that. But something is so much here, it brings me back. And I don't know what I'm even searching, because sometimes I'm searching on something and there are 200 hits. And I want to leave some, but something is constantly going. And I would say, no, I'm just going to start. Sometimes I say, Brother Don, I'm going to start from 1965, so that I just do 65, then I stop. Then I find myself in 50s. In a short while, I'm in 50s. And every time I see something, I'm seeing something good, and I put it here. like that. And I find myself, I'm just gone. I'm just gone and gone where I didn't want to go. And I'm not good at studies. I'm a lazy guy. I'm lazy actually. But when I get to this, sometimes I forget myself and I'm lost in it. And accidentally, not I want it accidentally, and I find myself like that. And but brothers and sisters, we got to study. We got to live in this word. We got to live not only on the word, in God, because you can also study and you're just intellectual. You have stories that you can give about the scriptures like that. But those scriptures don't mean nothing to you. They're just something that you're giving. It's got to come to a place where you pray. Not that kind of prayers that people do. Prayers that you know you touch God. Prayers that you know you touch God. You pray until you touch God. That kind of prayer and study that gets you closer and in God. That way now you feel you have God. Not only a scripture as a letter. Now that God of the scripture is now with you. Something that you know has talked, you've talked to and has talked back to you. Yes, sir. Praise be to God. You know, the prophet says sometimes, I don't remember where, but I remember he said something. But sometimes we talk to God so much, but we don't wait until God talks back to us. We kneel down, maybe talk to God and just leave. We don't talk to God enough and give God enough time for God to talk back to us. And you don't know how that sweet is, brother, to talk to God and talk to God. That's a fellowship. And you feel the closeness. And you feel that God is reality. Praise be to God. God is not foreign. God is not history. God is reality. God is not the letter. God is real. God is, you come to that place. And we desire that in our lives. So, and if I go like this, I'm not going to finish this. So let me just read it. I'm just going to read the scriptures now. Let's read it. So, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. Those are very many adjectives. Mind, what? I mean, nouns. Okay. Mind. And thy neighbor as thyself. And then the other thing, after loving God with all that you have, then love your neighbor. All right, now, thyself. Like you love yourself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. The question was, how can I have eternal life? And then he's told, then you can have eternal life. That's why he says you can live. In other words, if you don't do that, you die. You get separated from God. Okay, you live. Okay. All right. Thou shalt live. Verse 29. But he, willing to justify himself, that lawyer now willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, this is a very complicated scripture, because how is he trying to justify himself by asking this question, who is my neighbor? But he says that the purpose of this question is he wanted to justify himself. I'm not going to explain those things, but it's a kind of need some explanation, but I don't have time. We went down from there. Okay. Said unto him, thou answered right, do this and live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went. Now he's giving us an example or a story about to the end that he's going to know who the neighbor is, who is your neighbor from Jerusalem, and who is the neighbor. And Jesus answered and said, unto a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest. Now notice that, a certain priest, a great man, a priest, a preacher, somebody godly, a priest, that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite. You know the difference between Levite and priest? You do know that? You know the difference? The difference between a Levite is priests are chosen from the Levites. Levites is a tribe that is Aaron's tribe that was not supposed to work. They were supposed to be to, you get all your things and bring them to them. And that is where we took the priest, the high priest, we got the priest from that family. And when he was the Levite came, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan was, according to the prophet, according to the dictionary, is somebody from Nablus. Nablus is I think north of Jerusalem or west of Jerusalem, something, or east of Jerusalem. That's according to the dictionary. But according to the prophet, and there is also an explanation in the Bible dictionary, he was a half-Jew. He was somebody that was born by a Gentile and a Jew. A Gentile and a Jew, that was the Samaritan, like the Samaritan woman. He was born by I don't know who, whether the father or the mother, but he was a half-Jew and half a Gentile. That's a Samaritan. And they were not considered very good people. They were considered lesser people and not godly, not as godly as these other people. So the priest is very high, the Levite is now the next. And this is now doubt. He's a Samaritan is not supposed to be anywhere. He's not godly at all. Now, where am I? I don't know which was. Okay. A certain Samaritan, that is it. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he compassed on him. He had compassion on him. And went to him and bowed up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast. That is medicine, to soothe his wounds. On beast, like a donkey or a horse or something, and brought him to an inn, like a hotel room or something, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out two pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, which of thee thinkest thou was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now, all that is good. Maybe it doesn't go with my. What's good? Okay. Another. This scripture came to me. There's a song that is sung in Kikuyu. And that's where I got this from. That's where I got the scripture, Brother Don, from. That's a long time ago. Agema hujagia newiru nagara li ne 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 ne. Like that. It's a Kikuyu song. It's a very good song. These people know. These children know, and the people jump when they're singing that with drums like that. And this when that song, and Mariah liked it very much. Mariah did love that. There was a time Brother Keenan was going to he wanted some information about India, and we talked with Don a bit. We finished with Don, and I gave Don this. I saw how Don was excited on this, so I thought I would read it. Don was excited over there. I remember when he was sitting there. He went, I don't know, I think to the bathrooms, and he could not stay in the bathroom. He came running from the bathroom, and he said it again, and I think he searched it and read it. And ever since from that time, I've been thinking about it, and I think it's a good scripture. This is how it says. It's Philippians 1, 15 to 18. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy. Some preach this message, Christ, because of envy. You see that? Envy. You know, reading a quote because of envy or strife. You're reading a quote or something. And some also of goodwill. Some preach it because of goodwill. They want to preach Christ. They love Christ. Okay. The one preach Christ contention, not is sincerely, supposing to add affliction. In other words, this is a very interesting scripture. Some were preaching about Jesus Christ that time so that Paul in jail can have more stripes, can be beaten more. Because he's in jail. And he was in jail because of preaching Jesus. And now, can you hear what those people are preaching? They're preaching about Jesus. You taught them wrong like that. Sincerely, supposing to add affliction, to my bones. Okay, because he was in prison. But the other of love, some preacher of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel, what then? The Paul asks, what then? He says, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein do rejoice. Yeah, and I'll rejoice. In other words, if a quote is being read by somebody who wants to bring contention and war and like this, it's all right. Do you understand what I mean? It's all right. Somehow the message is being preached. Amen. Somehow Jesus was being preached. Somebody is just preaching Jesus so that Paul can be beaten more. That's what the Paul says. Even beaten more and Christ is preached. Can you get that? That really touches me. Yeah. Praise be to God. It doesn't matter if I suffered, so that the message or Christ can be preached. Is it all right? Praise be to God. You know, some of these things are very... Now, let's start here. I arrived home on Thursday. I arrived home last morning. I preached that evening, that night. I actually preached about... That night I preached about union and God being with one with God. The anointing was so much. Wesley comes. Wesley, Muranga Church don't believe like us. Muranga Church don't believe like us. And Wesley and Lee are Sister Shiko's brothers. And they are from Muranga Church. But he lives near Vika, so he comes to our fellowship. But they have been so much with us now, until now he thinks that the Muranga is not right. Now, after I preached, he could not, and I was very tired because I had just come from Addis Ababa, all that way. I was very tired. But the anointing was so great that, in fact, some of the people started crying like that, and it was so good, and some people think that we know everything. But even when I'm preaching that, and I told them I'm learning. You know, God is dropping some things I've never seen in my life, and I'm learning with Him. Because in this case, that's why I tell you, don't look at me. I'm a nobody. I'm just Brother Michael. You're better, far better than me. Don't look at me. Just praise with God. It's Him. It's Him doing it. And let's focus on that. Let's look at Him. It's Him. Nobody can do it. It's Him. We were running with Him that night, and I don't know what to say because every time It was like that every time. And brothers, I've learned a lot of things by just studying here and not studying here. But of course, after that, after I see it when I'm preaching it and saying it and connecting it to the quote, I go get the quotes and I see, okay, that's true. So I preached on that, about the union and what has happened in this hour. And God has come and how much he's gotten it to us. And Wesley was really excited. And he just told the people of the fellowship. And he told them again in another fellowship. He said, brothers, the things that you're hearing, you don't hear them nowhere else. And I don't know what he meant by that. I don't know about that. He said, this is, God has visited us. He tried to tell the people like that. And I feel like that's exactly, the God has come. God has come in this age. That's exactly right. I don't know what he meant. Because when I went to India, I tried to tell that brother, don't call me a prophet. Because I don't know why he was calling me a prophet. He even put a billboard, a very big billboard in India. And he said, Reverend, he calls himself Reverend so-and-so. And now he writes me Prophet Stanley. I'm not, but by the time I was saying I'm not, it was on out there. I'm not a prophet. I'm a nobody. I'm just somebody. I'm just a brother, simple a brother. I don't even call myself those names. I'm a preacher. I was called to preach. That's all I know. But those other things, I don't know. I don't know about them. There are some things that I see. I don't even claim that I see them because I'm not even sure whether they are true. I dream dreams. Some of them don't come through. Some of them come through. So you don't go by that. So I'm not a prophet. I don't know. And sometimes I see things about people, and then sometimes I tell them, and it's true. Like one sister, I looked at him. I said, sister, did you do that? And she jumped like that. But this is exactly what happened. And I don't know why even said that. And it exactly had happened like that. And she raised her hand and said, go tell your husband. I told her, go tell your husband. Of course, I've never told anybody. I'm saying it for the first time now here. So that was in Kenya. But I'm not. Sometimes it's not even a vision. Sometimes it's wisdom. I don't know what happens. I cannot explain it. I cannot call it nothing. It's not even supernatural sometimes. It's just there. And you can, like I talked, this time I talked to the sister. I talked to a sister and he gave me some stories. And I wanted to talk to her. So she came and we could not talk because I was so busy after service. And let's talk. And we went to, Boswell has a room there. And we sat on the bed. She sat there, and I sat there. Of course, all the people, the brothers and everybody on the other side, I said, sister, tell me something. So I talked to her. And I looked at her face, and she doesn't even know I need to talk to her. Something just struck me like that. And I'm not saying I'm nobody. Maybe it's just wisdom. Maybe the way the face is doing, I don't know. Maybe it's like that. And I said, I don't know. Something disturbing me about it. Now, it's so disturbing. When I come back to the U.S. and in the plane, when I remember her, something is disturbing, and I want to talk to her. And I go, what is it? So I'm not a prophet. I'm nobody, but sometimes it's just wisdom. You know, you can talk to somebody. You can talk to Don and say, don't do that. And you can know Don is not agreeing or Don is agreeing or something like that. So it's nothing. So the brother said, was calling me a prophet. Don't call me. And I told him 3-4 times. And Bill told me, he's writing that. I said, don't write that. And we went somewhere in a hotel where we were sleeping. Another big hotel there. I think the owner, we were staying. Why I've not put the pictures on is that Bill wants to make kind of a video on that, where we started and how, because it's very beautiful. Some of the pictures are very beautiful. We stayed across. Across there is where the Secretariat of the State is. That's where the parliament and things is. It's a very beautiful place. So at night we took some pictures on that, and it's a very, very beautiful place. So he wants to put that. So we went. The next door is a hotel where we used to go and eat breakfast. And the guy there, I think he's one of the MPs or whatever. I don't know, because he's guarded by very powerful guns, by three people, powerful guns, and he's surrounded like that, and they stay around there. And like that. So I don't know who he is. I don't know who he is. But they really respected us and treated us very good and everything like that. But when there, that brother told me to speak on, and he taped it. And he said, just tell the people to come on Sunday service. You're going to preach. And Brother Stanley is going to be something like that. He said, just say it, brother. I said, you're most welcome. We have heard you like that. And he put it up. And he also took us to the TV people. We didn't have time because I could not stay. Because if I stayed, they could have given me a chance to speak on the TV and then talk like that, But I could not stay because my fright and things like that. We were not scheduled that time when we went to the TV. But they received us very well, and of course there were some other programs that were going on, so like that. So, but my point was, he took me like that, and he was calling me that, and I told him, brother, I'm not. Don't even say I'm a preacher. Just call me brother. Simple. And he could not hear all that, and like that. But like that, and I don't know whether it's because of that. And people wanted to pray for them, like that. And I don't know whether they got healed. I don't know. Because I don't promise anybody that I'm... Because the Lord has not told me that you're going to get healed. So I just pray and leave you. One of them was a very serious cancer case. It was a very serious cancer case. And they said that they believe that if we prayed, I said, I believe with you. So let's pray. And we all knelt down there beside the bed. And we prayed. She could not even, I don't think she could even hear. She was in drips, something like that. And we prayed. And that morning, we were about, every time we go, some people, I don't know where he got people from. There were people surrounding that. And we had like that. So that was on Thursday. That was on Thursday when I arrived. I arrived that Thursday. And then that Saturday, Friday, I didn't do nothing. I think I had some meetings with some friends like that. And then Saturday, we had the ministry meeting. That Saturday, very many people did not come. But the following one now, this one, before I come, that's this last Saturday. Just before I come. Everybody come from everywhere. Some of them stayed in my house, and they asked me, "So you are in Kenya?" And I said, "Yes." "Oh, we are coming." Some of them came from far. I had actually to facilitate there because I want to come, brother. So that ministry meeting was a big one. It was a big ministry meeting, and a very different people came. But now that Saturday we had a ministry meeting. The people who talked in that ministry meeting was Keoko. You know Joshua? Yes, and I think he's still on the Seba Fellowship something. They are still talking about that. He was really on, and we started here on that group. He was really on theophany. And I'm not bragging, brothers, but the Lord came in a mighty way. Until brother, if he's listening, he's of my witness. He kept quiet. In that meeting, he kept quiet, brother. And because there are quotes there. There are quotes you cannot deny. There are quotes right there you cannot deny. And you are just saying them. You are not in your theophany. And the question is, then there's a body. There's another body that you get to when you're born again. I said, I don't know. I have an idea what it is. I can say what it is, but I want the prophet to say it. Because the prophet has not said it, I'm not going to say it. In an argument, when people argue, and I'm not calling it a bad argument, when you're talking about this, let's say controversy. Don't bring your idea so that you don't invite them to bring theirs. So I said, I'm not going to bring my idea and say what this body is when you're born again. You understand that? I'm not going to say what that body is. I'm just going to, where he is kept quiet, keep quiet, I'm going to keep quiet. But he also keep quiet where he doesn't say that you're in your body, because he doesn't say. And those quotes of 1962, the last time he said about the other funny was 1962. After that, until 1965, he does not talk about again the other funny. And 1962, behind there, There are things that were said, like we know polygamy is wrong. In 1865, it was changed because the prophet says the spirit of truth has come when the things are revealed. So we cannot go by that if he has changed it. And we all agreed like that. Now, but the ministry meeting, brother, of that Saturday, the last Saturday, there's some brother said, brother, I've always preached this thing wrong. There are brothers who confess that. Of course, I went with some at home, and we stayed with some, and they have churches. I think they're going to change now, and I'm going to follow them. That's why I really wish that I could have another fellowship with them. There's one brother who said, and it's a preacher. He's a pastor. And we stayed in my house after the ministry meeting. We stayed in my house until, and the following Saturday I was all going to preach until around 3 in the night. And he, questions after questions, and him and his co-pastor raised up their hearts and said, brother, we've been preaching it wrong about rapture, because they didn't believe that we are in the rapture. Now this is the age that we are in. And brother, if they go back, I don't know. God will not, I don't know. They got it and said, we get it. Now we are wrong. We've been wrong. And they declared that before us. And until my co-pastor, Brother Siego, if he's listening in, he said to me, brother, please don't go. I want you to explain the way you did to them. And I thought he knows it. I wanted to explain. And before I went, we had another meeting. We almost, that's why Brother Don, we are even late when she was calling me to the airport. Because the brothers are there. They want me to explain to him. And I'm not even, brother, I had not even packed. I was packing around 2 in the morning. That's when Bill came, because we had a meeting again that night. That's when Bill came and tried to help me pack when everybody's asleep. And then even in the morning, I didn't have some things because my wife was asleep. So I'm not even packed, and now they're here. And it was like that. But all in all, even when I'm so busy running and doing this, when I look back and see what has happened, I just praise God, brother. I just praise God. And I realize it's not me. It's not me. I can't do nothing. It's the Lord doing. Because sometimes, brother, I sit there, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. And I say, I'm here, Lord. I don't know what. I don't even know where to start. But something starts, sparks. Like a spark like that. And it starts, and it starts. And it goes. By the time we know where we are here now, and we have a topic that we are talking about. And now, the quotes are here. Another thing I would like to say, brother. In the ministry meeting, in those 2 ministry meetings, I've never seen anything like that. I would say it was a miracle. I would say that's a miracle. Maybe people want bigger miracles. To me, that's a miracle. Brother, I don't know what I'm saying. I just open my computer like that, and I do this, and I do that. And the quote is just right there facing me. And I read it, and everybody keeps quiet, even myself, because I also didn't know it. I read it, it marvels me also. Like, there's an argument that was very hot when you vow, you cannot break a vow. You cannot break a vow, and when you fight something like that. And my wife had been asking me, because people have been saying like that in Kenya, and now I remember I even talked with Dawn sometimes. I talked with Dawn about that. That when is marriage done and finished, you know, like that. And I remember talking to Don, and Don was sending me a message, and I've gone to the emails, and you asked me, did you mean this quote? And I don't remember exactly what quote was. That was a long time ago. I think that's 2004. I think 2004, Brother Don. And he said that quote. I said, yes, I think it is this one. I think it's, because that was very plain, and I've never gotten it. But now, this brother came, and brother, I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed by that. I didn't know what to do. But his brother said, but there's a quote here that I read, and he just reads one verse. And as I got there to read it, I just dropped down there, and four verses, and there it is. My answer, and the whole ministry meeting keeps quiet. I read it, and they don't know what to say. Me too, because, you see, I also didn't know. They've given it. And I was reading and I was saying, I was talking about it. And it's a big talk now, Brother Don. And I think we finished with that. How Moses, you know, Moses, when he went to, he had a snake. And all the snakes were taken by the snakes of those people were taken. And I'm saying, that's exactly how God does with the liberation. If you have the revelation, you have the snake. So your revelation takes all the snake, all the quotes of other people, it's swallowed. So I was telling them, sometimes that's what God does. And that's what God was doing. They give me, they are bringing those quotes. I don't bring mine first. I take those quotes and I explain them. They are not saying what you're saying. And I just go slowly by slowly with their quotes until they say, he's not saying that. He's not saying what they're saying. Then let me bring mine now. And when you bring mine, the ones that I know, brother, they're just, I mean, all of us are there. I mean, I'm saying, brothers, I'm not trying to brag, but this trip was marvelous. I know God. I know why God wanted me to go. I know wherever I went, I know why God wanted me to be there. I know now. Because I also learned from there. I learned. I now know some things that I didn't know. I learned there with them. And every time since I went, because it's only one Tuesday that I didn't preach. I was preaching Sunday. That's official. Going to church. Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and then Sunday. Every week, that's like that. If I'm not going anywhere else. And any other time, I'm having some people asking questions or have a meeting where people want some things about God. Not. Of course, I had two meetings with Brother Wandaka and some group of people. Just one meeting. But Brother Wandaka sent me to some other people, so we had about 2 hours of meeting there, another 2 hours with those other people. And he wanted me to talk to them about something. That's business. That's his business. So I did that. But any other time, I have people talking about this. People sit there, they don't want me to go. Let me give you a testimony of a brother, because I'm just mixed now. I don't know his day, and that's okay. I'm not even talked about India. Let me talk about this brother. This brother I'm preaching, it was that Sunday when I arrived. I don't know him. He wrote me when I was here, and he said, when you come, I would like to talk to you. And I saw a brother there, I don't know him, and I asked him, who are you? He said something, I don't know him. So I preached. When I finished, he got me, he said, brother, I would like to talk to you. And he took a chunk of my time, but the other people were waiting outside. And brother, it's so hard, because you see how you go in an office and they are waiting, and it's a class. Their desk, hard desk, very dirty, by the way. But I'm sitting on one, and somebody has put a desk there. So they're coming one by one, and they're waiting. They're waiting. I came fast. They're kind of queuing. They want to see me. So by the time I'm finished, and I've preached, by the time I'm finished, it's around 6. So I'm going home. I'm hungry, but they give me something to eat there, and when I'm finished, I'm not able to eat. So this brother comes and gives me his story. I didn't even understand some of his story. But he stayed in my house. He went and came back on Tuesday and Thursday. He comes from very, very far, but he stayed in my house all those days. And he's been diagnosed with a psychiatric problem. It's kind of a depression that has taken him. He's lost his wife. He's in a church who does not believe in polygamy whatsoever. So now, and they're believers, that's where he's been. So the wife was taken away, and now he said he cannot marry, and there's nothing he can do. And the wife actually was mistreating him so bad. I'm not supposed to talk about that. Maybe on there. but it was a case like that. So he's in depression. So he went there, and he was referred to some doctors, and the doctors lined up in a circle like that, and I don't know why they do that. It's just to see what the problem is, and then prescribe some medicine. And I told him, just continue taking those medicines. But he said, I told them, when he was supposed to go back, he told them, I met my pastor and I'm completely healed. That's what he said. Now, I'm going to India one day, and the day I was going to India, and he's sleeping in my son's house, in my son's room. So I opened the door and I said, brother, God bless you. Because it was at night, around 2. We left home around 2. So I said, brother, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. And I no moved out. So now, when I'm in India, when I come back from India, he tried to talk to me in India. And he told me, I almost felt like I'm going back to that thing that I was in depression again. And I cried. He was crying like a baby. Just an imagination that I'm away, that I'm gone. And of course, from there, I stayed with him until he was strong enough. And even now we are talking. And he told them, I don't even need this medicine. I'm studying now. Studying. He's studying the message now. He's sleeping. He used to sleep, not to sleep at all, days and days. That's why he was going kind of insane. And he said, I'm completely healed. And he tells them, I met my pastor. I mean, I don't know how I've become his pastor because I'm not even there and we have not even been together. But and this is not about even, of course, talking to him, but the preaching, the way the preachings went. It delivered him. I'm preaching here and delivered. Another thing is faith, because I was telling him, God is God. Just take God at his word. Just go with that. And after preaching, I said, do you believe? Is there anybody? You know, there's this song that they sang. Only believe. I don't think we need it. We just sing it. I said, we don't need to sing it. If you're not taking it like that, don't even sing it. There's no need of singing it. But if you sing it, believe it, take it. It's God who said, only believe and all things are possible. And I don't know what happened. And that brother is so, even now we are talking and I said, you don't need me here. You don't need me because you're not a baby. I'm not going to hold your hand and everywhere we go. You cannot do that. You got to be left and you got to understand that. And who you are supposed to be with is Jesus. Because he'll never leave you. Jesus is not going to go like me. I'm going to tell you. And brother, that brother is strong. That brother is strong. It's no more crazy. It's no more insane. It's good. And that was kind of a miracle that happened to him. And but he's telling everybody, I met my pastor. He even told those doctors, I don't need this medicine. But I told him, no, take the medicine, no problem. But there's one that he didn't buy. But he's very good. He's very good. The thing that I love is he's studying. He's praying. You know, he's sleeping. You know, he didn't have that. Actually, that brother could have been taken to an insane sanatorium. He was going bad. But right now, I thank the Lord. The Lord has done something to that brother. And I can give testimonies and testimonies like that. But every day I preached, every day was something that I'm telling you. Let me give you the testimony about Brother Myers. I come from India. Well, there's everything I can say about it. There's so many things I can say about Kenya. So I come from India, and I think Tuesday I didn't preach. I don't know what happened. I just came home, and I think we went with Bill to Nairobi, and then when we came back, we were late, and I found the brother preaching, and they don't want to preach when I'm there, and he wanted to give me, I said, no, brother, just finish. I want to hear also, and he preached, the brother, called pastor. Brother Siengo. And by the way, Brother Siengo is good. He has a good heart. And that's what I love. I don't care how much you know this word. I want that good spirit. I want that love of God in you. I want that. Because that will give you whatever you don't know. That good spirit will give you. And that's what I love about Brother Genge. So that is dead in preach. So I asked some people if we can go to. So when is that? That's the day I preached. Just that week when I was, after that week, the following week was when I was coming, I came on Tuesday. So on that Thursday I preached, and we organized that, after preaching on Thursday, we were going to Brother Moriah the following day, and we were going during the day. So some people are not able to go because they're working and things like that. So, and the people that were able to go, I could not drive my car, could not fit them all. So we borrowed another car from a friend, another brother that was not able to go, but he gave us his car, and we went two cars, and we went to Brother Maya. When we went there, we talked, we fellowshiped, and then we told them we don't want to eat, but they cooked anyways. So after we preached. And it was just simple. It's just something that I even made those papers about where we are. Because I was telling people in Kenya, I can to say that Jesus has come, I can start this way. I can see about the message of the hour. And we go. I show you by the message of the hour that has come. Because who is this after William Marion Branham that comes? Who is that? I can start here and tell you about the way he was told that he was to forerun the first coming of the Lord. I can go with that and show that he has come. I can go with this, that is, the fig tree was actually too bad, is that right? And show you that he is here, because, and it's not future, it's now, because the fig tree has budded, that is it. I can go different ways. There's a very, very many different ways to show that Jesus has come. Amen. And I told them, I'm going to take this. He has come. And the problem is, if you take him by his word, the prophet said, I read that quote about that. The word that fell on the day of Pentecost won't work. What do you think it means that it will not work? You're praying to something that is not there. That it will not work. It's not God. You're not worshiping God. You're worshiping something else. You're praying to something else. Do you understand what I mean? You're not praying to God. It won't work. It cannot save you. It cannot. It's not God. Why? God is his own word. And you know, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and that the message of the hour is God. If you believe it and take it, that is what, that's where healing is, that's where supernatural is, that's where everything is, that's where salvation is. You know, people think that they can be saved by just believing everything. There's no salvation, there's no life in anything else except the message of the hour in this hour. There's no life, there's no salvation. There's no nothing. Praise be to God. So you're not talking to God. If you're not talking to this message, and this message talks back to you, you're not fellowshipping with God. You're fellowshipping with something else. And you know that's strong. Eh? So I told them that, and they looked at it, and of course I had made some papers, printed some papers to give to everybody to show them what I'm talking about. It's not that. It's just God. It's just God. And I said, now you're coming to the prayers, and there are very many things about what has happened here, that Brother Mariah cannot get healed, and the best thing is to get it. If you're like that, we'd like for you to be given a place there, and not in a bad way, just go rest, if that is what you think, that this is not possible. But if you think it's possible, let's call upon his name. And we knelt down. And we really prayed. And then we went around the bed, and we again prayed, and he looked good. He looked very good. And after that, I came, and we had the ministry meeting the following day. And one of the brothers was a bit late, and he came. And when he came, this is the brothers that stayed in my house in the night, and we talked and talked and talked and talked, and they said, and they were going in the morning, they were not to fellowship in my church. Now, those were the brothers who told me, they're from Sagana, they told me that they have changed. They have been preaching wrong. They have seen it. I've answered all their questions, and they were writing down, they had the quotes, everything. They said, and the brother, they were excited, very excited in this. And now they were saying they're going to change everything, even in the church and things like that, and tell them. And they're going to confess that they were wrong, not like that. So the brother goes, and before he leaves, this brother has now become like one of us in the house, this brother who has been not feeling that psychologically a problem. Now he tells me he's going to escort them, take them to the road. And before they get to the road, you know my house, to the gate there, the main gate, they stay there. They remember, the brother remembers. I could have asked Brother Stanley about Brother Maya. And he said, you can call him. He said, I have something. He said, I have something. I had a dream. And it's a dream that really disturbed me. And he said, that was before even we went, or that day. I think that it is that day that we went, that Friday. We had gone yesterday. Now this is Saturday. And he had a dream that they met with Brother Mariah, And that of course, encouraged me. They met with Brother Moriah in the dream. And in the dream, Brother Moriah was telling him that he was very good, and he told him, since I've been sick, since I've been sick, but he said, I've not been preaching, and somebody is now the pastor of this church, of Muranga Church. I don't know how they are teaching or something like that. And now he was talking like that and very excited and very happy, healed and starting completely. That really encouraged me. It was yesterday, and now this brother is giving me a testimony of his, and of course, he didn't know what happened because he was not with us, with Edward Myers. And then immediately Mama Beer also told me, I don't know, I had a dream that Brother Mariah was walking with, I was walking, and I heard Brother Mariah talk, and they were walking with Ishiko behind me, and talking about the message, behind me with Ishiko walking slowly, and I turned, and it was Brother Mariah, like that, and those things really encouraged me, in my face, not anybody's face, in my face, that God is going to answer that. God is going to answer that. And it's very bad because I'm saying it, and something is telling me, what if we die? What is wrong with that? What is wrong? I've not lost nothing. I believed it. I took God's word. That's okay. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. And don't challenge me. Don't try to challenge me that you can die. No, don't challenge me. I'm taking God's word, and I'm going to start there. I'm not going to move. Nothing is moving me. Praise be to God. Until God can tell me, no, I'm going to take him. And then I will come back. You know, there was a brother that I really loved. His name was Brother Gengi. Brother Gengi, I really love Brother Gengi. You know Brother Gengi? Brother Gengi died. He was my co-pastor in Kenya. And I really done many things. We really walked together. We really did things. We really preached together. We really, all those churches, he helped me. He helped me bring up all those churches. My work in Kenya, Gengi had had in it. God has given me Brother Gengi as a helper. And now, Brother Gengi is dying. Brother Gengi is dying, and it's disturbing. It's very disturbing. So, one morning, I woke up and said, I don't know this. I don't know what's happening. And I told my wife, I know, I'm not talking. I just, there's somewhere, my wife, I beat her to it. There's somewhere in my room where my wife goes around every very early in the morning, she goes there and prays there. So I beat her to that, and I went there, and I knelt down, and I talked to God. I talked to God earnestly in my heart. I said to God, why can't you raise him up? And why can't you do that, Lord? And, you know, talking to God, you know, with all your, pouring yourself out to the Lord. And then something came, and I stood up. I wouldn't say it's a voice. I don't know what it is. I cannot even describe it. I don't know what it is. But I woke up, and I knew, because it's not a voice or anything, but I knew God is dying. And I didn't pray again. I woke up. I woke my wife. See that? He's gone. He's dying. It's painful, but he's dying. So that day, I met Emily. Emily was living opposite house. So I went there during the day, and I told my wife, Emily, look here. My brother's gone. And he's not gone. We are even going to go there to the house and see him and everything else. He's not gone. We're even going to buy him medicine. But I thought he's gone. And I knew he was gone. And after that, in 2 weeks, I think one week or something like that, he was gone. Just something told me that like that. Unless God tells me that about one of them, and he can tell me. What is wrong? God can tell. God, we, you know, I took, we were taken somewhere where we had this God. It's called, I think it's Iris. God Iris. And we saw, they refused me to take some pictures. They refused me to take some pictures, but we in the how before we did that, we had taken some pictures when they are worshiping it, when they're worshiping that God. They're worshiping it, and they're surrounded, and they're singing, and they're doing some things to that God and worshiping it. And I say, that is not my God. My God has ears, he can hear. My God has eyes, he can hear. My God is life. I don't talk to something that cannot talk back to. My God is a real God, and he can talk back to me. That's what I believe. So if God tells me, no, I'm taking Brother Mara, that's okay. And he can tell me that. But until he does, I'll continue believing that Brother Murray will stand up. And I don't know, I had said I'll never talk about it, but now it's come up and I'm talking about that. Now, let me stop there and just give a brief story about it. But I'm going to set those pictures in a video about India. When I decided to go to India, I thought Brother Benjamin is going to receive me. And he didn't. So when I arrived in India, I went to bed, and I'm there. I said, "Why did I come even?" And I'm here, I'm wondering, what do I do now? There's a brother who's been talking to me, who's been just sending some pictures. Some verses of the Bible for the last 3 years. I've never even talked to him. I've never even answered him. And I thought that brother is not very deep. So I thought maybe he could be a denomination man. I don't know why. I don't know where he got my name. I don't know. And I don't want to get involved into that. So I said no. So when I realized that Benjamin is not going to help me in Kenya, I decided to ask him. Because what I own, because I had a problem with my visa. Bill got his visa and everything. But me, I didn't. So the first visa, Bill showed me how he applied his. So I applied mine like that. And mine was refused. So when it was refused, I decided that I can go to the embassy now to talk to them about that. And now they said, according to the embassy, they wanted an invitation letter, somebody to invite me, and somebody to show me where I'm going, the home and the address and things like that. So there was nobody. They could not give me the address. So I said, okay, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to apply anyways. But they eat my money for the first one. So when I applied this one, I went there and talked to them. I talked to them. They said, don't pay. This is not a guarantee that because they have paid, told you to pay, that you are. And they also needed a bank statement that I didn't have. I live in the U.S. I don't have a bank statement. So Bill called his friends, 1, 2, 3, 4, to put some money because I said, can I use my son's account? They said yes. So Bill called some people there, and we tried some people, some of my friends, like that, 30,000, 20,000, 20,000, like that, and I put them there. I put that money there, and I took that bank statement because I didn't have a bank statement. I took that bank statement, and I told them, listen, I want to be honest because I don't like being dishonest. I put that money there. I would just put it, and of course they can see it's put. So I don't want them to think that I put that money there. It's okay because I didn't have a bank statement. My bank statement is in America. It might not have money, but my bank statement is in America. So I give them that, and they accepted it. They said, just pay. So it's not guaranteed that I'm going to give it. So finally, they give me the part. And another bad thing, Brother John, about that is they want you to have the itinerary. They want you to have paid the flight before you go for the visa. What if they refuse you? they are like that, but that's the way they work. I don't know why they work like that. They said, you got to have that. So I had to pay that and then come. So finally, they gave me the visa. So I realized, okay, now what do I do? Where am I going anyways? So we looked for some hotels there, and one of the hotels is what we put in that visa application. And I don't know whether they called them, but when we called them, they are in Indian language. They said, no, we don't have a vacancy, just like that. But one of them said, you can chat with me because I'm not understanding you. We can chat with you on chat. So we chatted and said, yeah, you can come. And that's where we lived. That's where we stayed. Just across that secretariat. And it was cheap. It was actually 1,000 rupees per night. And it was good. It was okay. It was okay. It had hot water and like that. It was all right. So we stayed there. So now, in the morning, we arrived at night. So in the morning, I'm sleeping here, and Bill is asking me, Daddy, what do you do now? Daddy, what do you do now? I said, I don't know. And I don't want even to think about the message. Because I'm you know, when you kind of become black. So Bill is wondering, what is Daddy doing? Because I'm watching videos of Israel, how Israel are fighting with Hamas. I'm just looking at it. And Bill is wondering, what is Daddy doing? I said, I'm praying. I've just left it there. I don't care now. I don't care. Whatever it is, if you just stay here and I just go home after that, that's okay. That's all right. And I don't care. Because there's some place where it comes. You don't worry. Don't do nothing. Just stay there. God has brought you there. And that's all. So I just laid there. Just laid there, and I had a call. Hello, brother, where are you at? And I said, I'm in Deacon Hotel. Okay, we are coming. I'm setting up a car. So they come. And immediately, it's just like, even where, how we, why we even there, we are walk from where we were living, is a walking distance to his house. It's a walking distance to his house. It's a walking distance to his church. A walking distance. He can walk there. I wonder, how is this? Then from there, he doesn't want me to buy nothing, even to fuel his car. No, brother, I have money. I've got to, when I come, I didn't want to any help or anything. I want to fill the car. He said, no, you are my guest. You see, when I said the pictures, you see how he received me. A red carpet reception, like a king. And pictures and things like that, and they were posted everywhere. I said, okay. And Bill was surprised for that. And he took us around. He showed some things, the historical places, like that. That day was that for that. And then Sunday, he took me in, and I went to preach. And I preached. And I didn't know what to preach, because this church doesn't look like is a very deep message church. So I'm wondering, what do I do now? So I have this message, I write down, I said, okay, but God. But when I went there, I didn't even need my quotes. I just preached, and everybody was like that. And it was very good anointing, and the brother was so happy, although he didn't give me much time. Bill also was given a chance, and he stood there and spoke to the people, and he gives them some quotes like that, and it was also very good. So the whole thing was very, very good. From there, Monday, we didn't do nothing because he came, and I think he didn't find us. On Tuesday, we didn't have money to pay, so we went to change some money. When we went to change some money, he came and missed us. But I think that is the day. I don't remember very well. That's the day in the afternoon. In the night, he came and took us to the TV people. And the TV people told us, if you had time, like that, they were putting us, they could have put us somewhere to speak on the TV. But we didn't have that chance. And from there, it was every day. On a Wednesday, we went to see the animal. Before we went to see the animals, we had a meeting in the morning. We had three meetings. And every day we had three meetings. Every day, at least three. And one of them we had with a certain woman. And he had some people gathered together. But that woman has a big church. And this church, and they treated us very well. This church is kind of a denomination. And she asked us, where are you sleeping? And I think she wanted to take us in, because in that church is in the floor. There's the first floor. The down floor is where they park the vehicles. Here, this is where the church is. But they had two other stories where they like at the back on where people sit is also church. But up there, there are offices and places to sleep and very good beds and like that. So I said, how much are you paying? I said, 1,000. 1,000? What kind of hotel is that? You don't need to sleep there. a pastor, a preacher, don't need to sleep there. No. We are comfortable. And of course, I didn't want to go anywhere else. So I stayed there and they took us there. But everywhere we went, and the good thing is, we preached, we talked about this word in a manner. There's somewhere where we went, and there were doctors. Those people were doctors. So he took us there. I don't know why he took us there. I don't know how they know one another. And we went there and talked about the word. And when we talked about the word, he said, hey, just pray. We've never heard anything like that. Just pray for us and pray that God can give us like what you have. And we prayed, and I don't know whether it was pretense. I didn't know, because when I finished praying, he was like, she was like that. I don't know what it was. I don't know what happened, but she was like that. Like, I thought she's gonna fall down, and she was really trembling like that. I don't know exactly what was happening, but the anointing and the feeling of the whole thing, you feel like, I mean, I don't know. I've had anointing, but the anointing there was just great. And sometimes I fear, like one time I was with Kenan in Kenya one time, and there was this girl that was going crazy, and the mother and the father called us to pray for her. And I feared, you know, fear that you fear, you don't feel like you're courageous enough to face that. You understand what I mean? But this time, brother, you just, anything, I was just there, and the anointing would come, and I would just do it. And when I speak like that, they believed that something is going to happen. And I said, it's not me, it's God. So we had a very warm welcome. And then on Friday, on that Sunday, the coming Sunday, there were greater multitude, greater group of people, and we preached to them. And now we preached to that. Every day was a busy day. I can't just give everything, every day. So that Sunday when I preached, he had told me not to preach very much because we were going and like that. And they had also worshipped a very long time. So he said that I can preach a short some. by the time I realized what I'm doing, I had gone for maybe 1 and something hours. Close to 2 hours, like that. And everybody was there, amen, amen, like that. And I was not even reading. I think I did some quotes. I did some 3 quotes like that. But most of it was just bringing it like that and preaching it like that. And then I don't know what exactly happened, but some people wanted me to pray for them. And I don't know what, because they were speaking in their language, I didn't know what was happening. But this woman came and said that he can have anointing with oil on her shoulder. And the brothers told me, she was that, you can anoint her. And I was to take the oil and anoint it with that. They said, why? What is the problem? And someone interpreted that she had this. I said, no, even if I'm anointed, I'm going to pray for her. And when I just prayed, you know, I don't know what to say, brother. You know, a prayer that you feel like is something that, you know, I don't know what to say. A prayer that you feel like, okay, yeah, something. It's not even you, but you feel like that, brother. And I saw her do that. I thought it's not, sorry. Have I done something, brother, wrong here? Okay, I think, is it okay? On the, I put it here, okay. So like that. And before I knew what it was, because I was seated, and they put you somewhere. You don't even come here with it. It's a carpet. It's a red carpet. In the carpet on the here. So and you preachers are given a place here to sit, and so it's just high place like that, and people cannot even come there. The first Sunday, I saw some people trying to do this, some women trying to do this. I even took some pictures trying to do this. They are looking at me and then going back. Then some me like that, doing like that. And I said, come. And they come on the podium and they're here. And said, and they started preaching what I preached. Brother, this touched me. Brother, this touched me. And they started telling me what I said. Praise God. Now, this last Sunday, we were to go, because that was our fright. That was the day that we were frying out. And we were to get late if we don't hurry up. And now, we were eating behind the pulpit. So Bill and them went to eat. After we finished, I was preparing to eat, to go, but somebody came. Some 3 women come and told me how they've been touched and those words. And now they're kind of preaching to me. And they said, can you pray for us? Because we want it. Just pray for us, that those things that come and prevent us. Because I was actually talking about being closer to God and studying this word and praying and getting closer to God like that. And there are things that they were saying, that the close woman that was saying, there were some things that comes when somebody is praying, you're not able to pray. Can you pray for us? Can you pray for us and lay your hands on us so that you pray for us that those things don't come? Can that change? I said, God can do it. Let's pray. If you believe, let's pray. So, brother, when I opened my eyes, There was about 10 people wanting the same, wanting to be prayed for. About 10 people. I said, okay, I don't know what it is. And now Bill and them and the rest of the pastor and the rest of the people have gone to eat in a special table where they had prepared this. And now, and I said, because it is preach, they sing preach. And they know English. Those people know English. So they sing preach, not good English, but they say preach. So I feel like I don't want to treat them. So I prayed for them. So they realized that I've taken so wrong, and Bill come for me. And this way they found me praying for them. And the pastor said, no. He pushed them a bit. I said, let me pray for them, for just a few. And now I prayed for a few, and then I went back to it. And when I went back to it, I'm meeting, and they're here. They're still here. They didn't want that. And so I was eating and praying like that and praying like that. And I'm saying that even when I'm doing that, the anointing is so strong. It's so still strong that I'm feeling it like that. And I'm saying the whole thing, I say, was very, very, very good. And I would say, now that brother wants us to go back there. He wants to gather. He says that we need a ministers meeting where he can gather all the ministers and he can gather as many as possible. They want the problem is he says that the problem is I think some people left them like Benjamin or something. I don't know. I think there's something there that we want it. There's nobody bringing it to us. Brother Holmes brought it to us. That's what he was saying. And he showed me some pictures with Brother Holmes. And he said, Brother Holmes used to give him $100 every month until he died. Until he died, Brother Holmes was giving him $100. I don't know how he was sending it, because everybody that was being given money by Brother Holmes, this church is still giving them. I think they are not giving that. I think he was sending it directly. He was not sending it. The church don't know. But he was giving that until he died. And he said that we love this. When you bring it the way you brought it, we believe it, we want it. And most of the things they don't know, and they say they want it. Now, he said that he want to organize a minister's meeting sometimes next year, whenever I want, we can go there and we can take this word to those ministers that he know that want this. And the other thing is, he wants to organize a convention at that time also, or maybe whichever we want. And like that, I said, I don't know. I'm not going to promise anything, but I'm going to organize one also in Kenya. We decided in Kenya that we are going to organize. Because what we realized after we talked with the brothers in Kenya is that, I know I'm talking about a bit of that, but what we realized is that sometimes people don't refuse the word. Sometimes people don't know. You understand what I mean? So I said, if people are willing to listen, then I'm going to take it to them. If people are willing to listen to me, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to tell it. If the blame is on me that I'm not going and people are ready, I don't want that. I'll shed that off and I'll go and I'll tell the people. Whoever wants to listen, I'm going to take it to them. Whenever God... Another thing is, I don't want also to be a burden to anybody. Is when God takes me there. When God gives me a way, I will go. I will go, I will go, I will go, I will go. Praise be God, and I will leave it there. But and Sunday, if you have any question, maybe somewhere, because there are some testimonies I want to tape. There's a lady that I want her to put her testimony on something, on a tape. I want to put it on YouTube. Maybe I'm going to give it out. It's a touching testimony. And it shows that God is still working, brother. It's still working. She didn't have a baby. And a certain woman, and she was praying, and she was being mistreated by the mother, the father, and she was even being kicked. Her family did not have enough money to bring to the husband because they give dowry. The wife gives dowry. And it was being kicked. She wished to die. And now she's now getting water with cans from the well there somewhere, and she's walking. And she was wondering, she has heard about Jesus and Elish. There's God called Elish. Now she was wondering, which one is which? But she's saying, whoever God is, I want that God. And this woman comes from like a, like Rari. I don't know how she comes. She comes with a small Bible, a Bible that is King James Bible. You know, do you know the Gideons, that is small Bible like that? She comes with it, and she stands on something on a you know, there's some wood that fence off something, a fence like that, and she's standing like that. The woman is standing like that. She says, "Excuse me, woman," and she talks in her language and says, and this Bible is written in her language, and she says, "You beaten and kicked and everything because you don't have a baby. And they treat you like that. I want you to go to this hospital in such and such a date at this time. Go there and test, and you'll be pregnant. They'll give you the result of that test that you'll be pregnant. Don't go any other day this date." And he gives her a Bible, and she goes away. She doesn't know her. She's never seen her like that. And she goes, tells her husband and those people, and they laugh. Then she goes that day, and she's tested, and she's pregnant. And she was praying for a baby. She was praying for a baby girl. Now, the baby girl, they don't own baby girls there. So the family says the baby can be killed, and the woman can be sent away, and they can have their son to marry somebody else. So they go there, and she prays. Now she's reading her Bible, hiding, because you cannot be found reading the Bible. So she's hiding it. And she was found reading it, and she was banned. It was banned. It was put on fire. It was banned there. You cannot read it like that. So now she's in the hospital praying to go to Jesus now. To Jesus now. She left her Alice. Now she's praying to Alice, to Jesus. Now there, the husband comes. They are coming to tell her she's no longer belong there. They don't know the baby. She sees the first one sees the baby. He holds the baby, and something comes from the baby, and he told the dad, "Daddy, mom, we cannot kill this one. It's too good to kill." And he cries and he holds her. That's how that baby lived. Then they went back home. And the same woman, after some time, you know, she's mistreated now that she doesn't have a boy. She has a girl. Now the same woman, same place. And even now she doesn't know her. He gives her another Bible. She comes and gives her another Bible and gives her another date. And even now she doesn't know. He says, "Who are you?" She goes away. And she says she comes, she comes from a place like Rari. Then she gives another Bible. And that Bible now, she studies it. That's how she's a Christian and a believer of this message. She read it, hiding on a blanket, constantly with a torch. And what she was told, she was, "Go, test, such a date." She had a boy. There's a boy, big boy, a big girl. There. I want this message. I want this. And she's crazy with it. She wants it. She wants to hear about God. Praise be to God. And we can leave it at that. And I'm very good testimonies. And you see those pictures and those things on the videos. Because Bill is working on it. My daughter and my two daughters are working on it. I'm trying to bring them here. I'm so broke. I don't know what to do because they're supposed to come in January. And I want to bring them here. I found a ticket that is about $90 per person. That's a round trip. I don't know whether they can reduce that. I don't know whether that's going to be. I don't know. But the Lord is going to open a way, and they're going to come here. But in the meantime, they're organizing that video, and it will be in the YouTube, and you see all those pictures, how we went. I don't know whether they will put the Kenyan story, but they will put the India story. Is marvelous. It's marvelous. I saw a miracle with my own eyes. And I mean, everything was God. And everywhere we went, God had prepared something. And we were thankful to the Lord. I've taken much of your time. I'm very sorry about this. It's very, very exciting. Very exciting. I should not have started those stories. It's very exciting. Well, let's pray. It's so nice, Lord, talking about these stories, about the things that you've done. Lord, you know very well that I saw your heart. Lord, you led me, Lord God, and you did the things that you did that my mouth, words cannot express, Lord. I'm so thankful for that, Lord. But Lord, when I see these things, Lord, it shows us, Father, that all things are possible, Lord. If you're doing things with other people, then you can do it with us, Lord. We are the people, Father, who you talk to in your scriptures, in your word. When you promised anything, it is us who you are talking to. We are the believers, Lord, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that you give us strength. You give us the ability, Lord, to take you at your word. Father, whatsoever you say, let it belong to us. Let us be declared in us that it is us, it is ours, and we go grab it because it's ours, Lord. We commit all things to thee now. Father, give us faith for whatsoever needs we have, Lord. Give us faith to achieve it, Lord. In all things we give glory and honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. By the way, I talked to Joe. Joe told me that he's not going to be able. That's another thing. I don't know why Joe doesn't come to church. And I know he's listening in. And something happened. Before I go, something happened. And I found him something. Maybe he's going to hear me. And the devil told me, immediately I heard a voice. It's not a voice, but I don't know what it was. And I knew it was the devil. Leave him alone, he's done. And I cried. As I walked away from him, he doesn't know that, I cried. I said, he's my brother, I'm not going to leave him. I'm not going to leave him. I don't care how far deep he goes. And every time I talk to Joe, I don't know what happens to me, and something tells me, I mean, I love him. I love him so much. And today we talked at length. I went to his office. He sat down in the office. He was promoted. And I could see he was hiding, but I could see the tears coming down and crying and like that. I could see he was crying. I mean, he's hearing me, I know, but I'm sorry about this. And I know how. And he says, I'll be there on Sunday with my children. And brother, I love you. I want this. But I don't know what's happening. And I love it. So pray for him. Be with him. If you can encourage him, call him, encourage him. He loves this. And he loves also the way we. I think, I don't know what he loves in this. I don't know, because he doesn't understand much. I don't know what is happening with Kath. Kath has been here. She has really wanted. Pray for him, for her, that the Lord will bring her closer to him. Because he loves it. He loves it. He's been coming. And so, I mean, she loves it. So all in all, brothers, let's, like the scripture said, let's have the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with everything that is in us. Let's have him. May God bless you. May God bless you.